Sarah De Jong, why did you first start the Thousand Hearts Project?
At the time I was working and had been working in non-profit organisations for a few years and had seen that kindness is so needed in our world, particularly for people struggling and feeling vulnerable, grieving, experiencing loss, that type of thing, which were the people that I was working with at the time. And just before I started the project, I went through my own period of loss and vulnerability when my marriage broke down. So I think those two things combined put me in a place where I was really just feeling that I understood how much goodness was needed in the world. And I started A Thousand Hearts as a personal kind of challenge for myself to make A Thousand Hearts, just for the sheer kind of joy, I suppose, of doing something kind with no strings attached, no agenda, and something that anyone could access.
It's such a big topic, isn't it, when you sort of first think about trying to make the world a kinder place. So I guess you were obviously a sewer, and this was something that you felt you could do on a personal level?
Yeah. I did really pick a way to show kindness that really suited me. I've always sewn things ever since I was a child, and I've always enjoyed sewing small things. And actually, I've often carried a little talisman in my pocket over the years, especially as a child. I remember one of my most cherished possessions was a packet of Tally-Ho cigarette wrappers. I didn't know what they were, but I found them on the driveway at my home when I was about 6 years old. And to me, it just seemed magical. This little little cardboard container of pure white paper, something like fairies would use for, you know, journaling or something, I guess. But
That's gorgeous. You chose, I guess, look, let's describe what the hearts are for people who are not familiar with the project. I've actually got one in my hand. Can you describe what I'm holding?
I can. It's a little felt heart, so it's made out of pure wool felt, and it's around 4.5 centimetres wide. And it's stitched together with a contrasting thread colour with different colour felts on each side and stuffed pretty firm because they need to take a bit of a beating being put into pockets and squeezed in stressful times and things like that. So they're quite tactile.
I've been squeezing my heart just before we started on the radio. It was a lovely stress buster. Now, you chose the shape of the heart. Tell me, what does this shape symbolise for you?
I think it was, at the time, I just really liked the idea of a pocket heart. It's such a universal symbol that doesn't have any kind of religious affiliation, or it's quite accessible to everyone. And one thing I really wanted, and you have to remember, when I started, I wasn't intending to start a global kindness project. I was just doing a little personal challenge. So I wanted them, I knew that they'd be going out to anyone who asked for them though, and I wanted them to be something that people could relate to no matter where they were coming from in life and no matter what their belief system. So I thought the heart was a really nice universal symbol of love and kindness.
Yeah, it's a beautiful universal symbol. So, Sarah, back in 2016, you set out to make 1,000 hearts. How many do you think you've made now by 2019?
I reckon personally I've made upwards of 10,000.
Wow. And so when you first started making them, how did you think you were going to disseminate them and make sure that they ended up in the pockets or the hands of people who really needed a bit of kindness?
I started the Thousand Hearts Project I started the Facebook page then when I started making them, so that people could follow along. And I did a tally of hearts each week. You know, this is how many I'm up to and here's what I'm making. And then every now and again I would make an embroidered or decorated heart that I would give away on the page. And they were kind of extras, not included in the 1,000. So at the time I thought it would just be some friends and family who'll follow along and enjoy my journey through that. But it did go a lot wider than that in the end. And there are about 75 people that I sent little packs of those original 1,000 hearts to. And then they shared them in their communities. And that was what I thought was the end was actually the beginning.
So you made up the hearts and then packaged them together and gave them out to friends and family. And then they spread the kindness even further.
Yeah. So some of them were strangers, actually, who came along to the Facebook page while I was doing it. So there were some people that I knew who took some, but some in quite far-flung places that took some as well.
What are some of these hearts have ended up a long way from where we are in Tasmania. What are some of the places where they've ended up?
Everywhere. There are people making hearts that I know of in the United States, in England, in Greece, in Ireland, I think, Kazakhstan, New Zealand, all around Australia. I always get a bit mind-boggled when people ask me this question because there's just been so many places that they've gone to. It really is a global kindness project now, which is very humbling for me because it just started as me on my couch making 1,000 hearts. It's very powerful what the ripple effect has been.
Absolutely. Now, I understand that you still do sit on your couch on the weekend and sew these beautiful hearts. Do you have a day job, Sarah?
Yeah, I actually work at Cancer Council Tasmania. I recently did cut back my hours a bit there to make a bit more room for 1,000 hearts. I was very lucky that they were accommodating of that and very supportive of the project and me investing some time and energy into that as well. So, yeah.
There are some really lovely stories on your Facebook page. I've seen some little videos with children, with teenagers, with older people. What are some of the special stories that perhaps have stuck with you? I'm sure there are lots, but some of them on the Facebook page are really heartwarming. Yeah. Sorry to pardon the pun.
That's okay. Yeah, look, all the stories that I receive are absolutely touching, and I often just get really teary reading them because it just shows the power of the hearts. One that I experienced personally was when I did a heart making session on the east coast of Tassie with a group of vulnerable people that was set up by a lady who's been really involved and really loves the project. And there was a little 8-year-old boy in that session, and the woman that I was running the group with said, don't expect him to sit and sew. He's just not that kind of a kid, and he's going to find that really challenging. So I said, no, that's fine, you know, no expectations. Anyway, he didn't sit still, but he stood and sewed 8 hearts through the session. And he had someone in mind for each heart, and he just engaged so beautifully with that idea of giving a heart to the people in his life. And I found out later that this little boy had had such a difficult time in his life and such huge challenges for such a young person. And to see him empowered to make and offer a token of his love and kindness to the people who supported him was just, yeah, incredibly beautiful for me to actually witness that, and then later to hear his story and what that had meant to him.
You're listening to ABC Radio across Australia. This is the Sunday session with Louise Grimmer, and I'm with the wonderful Sarah De Jong, the founder of the 1,000 Hearts Project. Sarah, this sewing is a really good activity for a lot of people for promoting mindfulness. You know, we tend to be stuck on our devices all the time. We're trying to multitask. But I've seen a number of people who are involved in this project actually say it makes you sit down and you really concentrate on something. It's really powerful.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things I encourage people to do with the hearts is, number one, make a heart for themselves. Because part of the project, a really important part that I'm realising how important it is more and more as time goes on, is self-compassion, so kindness to ourselves. And recently I've started talking in my blog and with people in the community, the 1,000 Hearts community, around how when we think we're living the value of kindness, we tend to kind of default to being kind to other people. But unless we're showing that same kindness to ourselves, we're not really fully realising that value of kindness. And so I've had lots of sort of messages and emails from people who have kind of gone, wow, you know, I realise that I haven't been looking after myself in all of this. And I was one of those people as well. You kind of get so focused on giving out that sometimes it can be quite draining. So I really encourage people to try and give from a place of abundance and generosity. And I think that can only happen when we're actually looking after our own hearts and making sure that our well-being is sorted, as well as being part of that kindness movement and putting it out into the world. And mindfulness is a part of that. And I think that sitting, and without distractions if possible, so it's turning the TV off, turning off the music, and actually sewing and putting those good intentions very consciously into that heart and making sure that at some point you do that for yourself.
I think that's one of the really powerful things about this project. Pardon me. As you've just said, it's got those benefits for the people who are receiving the hearts, but as well, it's got those incredible benefits for the people who are making the hearts. And you have some regulars I've seen on some of the coverage about this project. There are some wonderful women, I think, up in Burnie I saw, who are regulars who get together, and it is a social occasion for them. But also they reported that it's very good for their mindfulness and for imbuing each of these gorgeous little hearts with real kindness. And so I think it's a really powerful project from both of those aspects. Sarah, for people like me who are not very good sewers, and you know I've ordered one of these kits, is it pretty easy to pick up?
Absolutely. And one of the things when I was setting up 1,000 Hearts and expanding it, I was very conscious of the fact that I didn't want it to just be a craft project. It's much more than that. It's a kindness community and people can get involved in whatever way they want. So anyone can receive a free pack of hearts just to have the experience of giving hearts, even if they're unable to sew. But I also say that anyone can sew and anyone can learn to sew through the Pocket Hearts because they're actually a very simple stitch. Some people use fancier stitches than me, but I use the simplest stitch of all. You've got to when you're getting through 10,000 of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm thinking RSI.
yeah. But look, they're very simple to make. And, you know, obviously some people are not physically able to sew or they really don't want to go down that crafty path, and that's fine. People can also get involved by... yeah, as I say, giving them out or, yeah. Just...
or cutting up the material for other people to sew.
Exactly.
There's lots of hearts you've had to cut out of that felt, isn't there?
Yes.
Sarah, what's next for the project? What do you hope the future of this project is going to be? You might have to change the name. 1 Million Hearts Project.
Yeah, I'm pretty stubbornly sticking to 1,000 Hearts. I think that the name is symbolic of where it started, and to me
so.
That's really important.
Absolutely.
Plus I can't keep track of how many that are being made out there in the world. I think I'm really happy with the way that it's organically grown. And as far as the future goes, I'm not putting a lot of pressure on myself or the community to be anything in particular. I think it will continue to grow and I'd like to get into the community a little bit more with it myself and perhaps run some sessions in Hobart, meet some people more face-to-face rather than online. It's just tricky because I work and have children and that sort of thing.
Life.
Yeah, life gets in the way of it. But one of the things I suppose I'm doing with it in terms of living by that value of self-kindness as well is not pressuring it to be anything other than what it is. I'm absolutely gobsmacked by how far it's grown already. And it's become more than I could ever have imagined. And the learning and the growth that happens for people in that community because of what they're learning around, because of what we are all learning, I should say, around self-compassion and kindness to others and community and mindfulness and what, you know, the magic of caring for each other, I think, is just incredibly powerful as it is. So I just hope it will continue to grow in a healthy and bountiful way that, yeah, will reflect those values of the project.